This is CliffCentral.com.
Hello, Salibona Nimakadi, Molweni. Welcome to another 1 hour of the Game of T Vibe here on Cliff Central. So on Tuesday, we lost one of African legends, Yuma Sekela. And on Wednesday, our President Edi Mnangagwa was interviewed at the World Economic Forum. And of course, the government of Zimbabwe ordered major players in the fuel sector to reduce prices. You surely don't want to miss the Gilmore T Vibe today. And I am, of course, joined in studio by the resident, Tswarelo Mothobe, who's at Umelapi on social media. What's up?
I think we should start calling it unsocial media.
Unsocial media.
It makes a lot of people unsocial.
Very unsocial. But it's very social in its own way. And also, we have the not so new and not so funny Itai Muroi joining us in studio today. This is your third time, possibly.
If not the fourth time.
But anyway, welcome back on the Gilmore T Vibe.
Thank you, Kabo. It's good to be here.
Yeah, and of course, together we're going to go through these and many other topics that made news in Zimbabwe this week. And yes, we are live on live stream, obviously. So the website is www.clipcentral.com. And our hashtag is GTEE Vibe. So let's talk Zimbabwe. Alright, talking about Zimbabwe, according to the Chronicle newspaper, the government has ordered players in the petroleum industry to reduce fuel prices with immediate effect to $1.35 per litre for petrol and $1.23 per litre for diesel, and of course $1.17 for paraffin, following the reduction in excise duty announced this week. So the Minister of Finance and Economic Development announced the excise duty reduction, which is expected to have a positive effect on the economy. Energy and Power Development Minister Simon Kayamoyo told journalists in Harare, Zimbabwe, on Tuesday, the 23rd of January, that he expected maximum cooperation from the players in the petroleum industry. This is good news to us as Zimbabweans.
Are we back to price fixing?
Yeah, they're fixing the pricing.
It's not good news. If it's price fixing, it's not good news.
No, but then they're reducing the price in the fuel, like, because the pricing had gone up.
Oh, what it means is if for 10 liters, mm-hmm. I'm only saving 60 cents.
But 60 cents is some money.
You can't buy me a loaf of bread.
But it's still some money. You have saved some money, though.
Okay.
You can throw that in the bank and also be like a responsible black person who knows how to save their money, because a lot of us don't know how to save money.
Okay.
We just want to spend it.
Especially
on the phone, brother.
Yeah.
Social media.
He's being unsocial right now, and we're having this. Is it not a good thing that the pricing of fuel is reduced? Because you are constantly driving left, right, and middle center and taking your kids to school. So isn't this good news for you?
Well, I'm new to this driving thing, so I can't just step into the door and start complaining. You know, yeah, but I think it's a first step.
Uh-huh.
Considering Zimbabwe's got a history of profiteering these mm-hmm. business people. Like in December, we witnessed some unscrupulous price hikes.
That's such a Zimbabwean word, unscrupulous.
We were buying a crate of eggs for like $9. This is something that regularly would go for plus or minus $3.50.
Mm-hmm. That's why I quit eggs.
You know, and
but you don't eat eggs anymore?
I don't eat expensive eggs.
No, expensive eggs. It's just chicken. Chicken is a stupid animal to begin with. You know, I mean.
But you can't say chicken is a stupid animal to begin with, because.
Let's not talk about chicken.
Exactly, because we have a headquarters in Harare, the capital, that is a symbol of a chicken. So we cannot say it's a useless animal, because this same symbol has been leading us for many, many years.
Come on, I mean, it goes to show the characteristics of people you find there, you know.
No, but anyway, good news for Zimbabweans. Whether good news or bad news, I don't know. But I think it's good news that the pricing has gone down for fuel, because it will also result to other things going down, possibly the food and things like that.
Hopefully. Yeah, because prices, you ever seen prices, like, look at Zim, for the economy that we have, for the cost, income that people make, people get, and things like that. Our cost of living is super high. I don't get how we survive when we are making nothing, and yet have to pay so much to survive.
I don't know, we hustle, we're hustlers, right, in Zimbabwe. That's the new, it's a new term or old term in Zimbabwe. We should put it in our dictionary. The Harare dictionary, not the Oxford. We need the Harare dictionary.
Yeah.
All right, moving right ahead. In entertainment, the Gaffa hitmaker Winky D is releasing his 11th album, and he's got such acts as Jamaican Benny Man and other several acts like Buffalo Soldier, Andy Murizo, Killer T, Sam Dondo also partaking in his launch. I mean, I think he's done an incredible job in terms of creating anticipation and just mastering the business of music. This is my own opinion. But you're like a Winky D fan and you would know it,
I'm not a Winky D fan.
but I
fear he will soon reach a point where he'll start singing songs like Chirimpoto. You can't be doing albums every now and again. How deep are the albums? You have an album with two, three songs, and then the rest of the songs you don't even listen to.
That's my question. Sorry, you're in the music industry. There is a lot of releasing albums every 6 weeks. Calvin, the hip hop artist, the award winning hip hop artist, he's got an album, but he just recently released another one, like a few months back. How do you even sustain this business of music if you're constantly releasing albums? Are you making money from it, or is just releasing because you feel like you don't have anything else to do than to release albums?
Well, it depends. Yes, for local artists, you look at the bulk of local artists. In Zimbabwe, musicians make more of live shows than they offer CD sales.
Mm-hmm.
A lot. Yes, there are a lot of artists who are actually selling CDs, but I can bet you a locally based artist will make more of live shows and other CDs, endorsements and gigs. And so what do you need for you to get the live shows and make money off that? The hit song.
Just
one. You need the hit. You know, so you can't be Winky D and releasing singles all the time.
Yeah.
You know, he has to basically try and treat us with respect.
Yeah, but then,
you know, it's also mainstream music, so the music's going to be watered down. It's not going to be all that. It's going to be a song you listen to today, and two months down the line, Soldier Love releases something and you forget about that song until somebody else. You know, that's the idea behind.
But 11 albums, so I mean, 11 albums, even the biggest artists that have started singing before him, they don't even have 10 albums. They have like maybe 3 or 5.
It depends. You listen to MF Doom. MF Doom has got multiple characters. It's Victor Vaughn, is MF Doom, is Danger Mouse, is Mad Villain, all those things. And this is an artist who can, in a single year, release 4 albums because of the multiple characters. So, I understand. I'm not going to compare Winky D to MF Doom, but I'm just saying, work ethic-wise, if you strike a formula that works.
Okay, so it's about a formula
that works. With MF Doom, he's got a cult following. His formula works for him. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure about Winky D. I'm not into Zim Dance also. I don't know that much about it. But maybe with the fans that are hardcore Zim Dance fans, they'll follow that. Maybe he's got a formula that is actually, you know, worked on.
Yeah, but then I like... yes, it is.
You realize Zim Dance is like... it's like your white t-shirt, you can't put it on for too long. One song comes out,
we might actually talk about this Zim Dance for what it is, actually.
Nice analogy. Nice.
But listen, either way, I appreciate the approach to the business, of music that he has done. Because in many cases, our artists suffer from this thing of just dropping albums. They think that the albums are going to sell themselves. They think that these albums are just going to become, you know, the massive albums ever to have existed. And some of them, they just announced like a week before to say, oh, we're dropping an album next week. But with him, he's created this anticipation. He's got these big acts coming to play with him as he launches his album, which means those are more people coming to the album launch and buying his CDs, etc. So the business side is good.
I'm saying formula. Look at Machiso releasing an album and selling an album for $1 and claiming to have sold over 100,000 copies. If he did that, then he reached the $100,000 mark.
Wow, for $1.
For $1, you know, some musicians might cry foul. You know, he's killing the market. But he's created a formula and followed it through. You see, like that. So probably Winky D is probably got a formula. If he's going to be bringing Billy Man and all these big artists, of course he's not bringing them by himself.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole lot of financial backing to that and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, he's got a lot of endorsements in Zimbabwe, you know, at the moment, which is a good thing.
I just hope and pray we don't have another Davido moment.
What do you mean? Like a no show?
Yeah. Jack Fraser created this hype. David is coming and he didn't show up.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. The fans forgave him.
No, but we've always had a lot of Davido moments way before Davido.
Yeah. So they're just not called Davido back then. They had other names.
They had other names.
But right now, you can either call them Davido moment or Zoto Abantu moment.
You know.
Or a no pant moment.
No.
That's just for me, right?
No. Davido was cool.
But moving right along, I mean, in other sad news, we've just lost Brayuma Segela. He passed on from prostate cancer and he died at 78 years of age. I mean, such a huge loss for the African music industry.
The world music industry. I don't think there's something that I've always fought. You know, you look at the world over when it comes to artists like Fela, Yuma Segela, Get It Rhymes. Machaifa and all these African artists, there is a need to specify African. You don't get that with European, American artists.
So we just said
I mean, Yuma Segela is one of the greatest musicians.
Yeah, he is.
Ever.
Yeah.
You know, I don't care what no one thinks. You know, I mean,
that's anybody.
Yeah, that's what it is. That man is... you know, influence changed the trajectory of jazz music, not just in Africa, but in the world.
Yeah, true.
He's made, he stood, you know, created politically sensitive messages. He's an activist. He's influenced a lot of musicians and anyone who has personal friends with Fela, you know.
And also saying a tribute for Fela.
But I mean, may so rest in peace. What's your greatest moment? What do you remember the most about Yuma Segela?
My first experience with Yuma Segela was with my dad's friend. His
first experience?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Sounds very sexual, but anyway, let's go ahead.
Okay.
Get your mind off the gutter, Kemo. Get your mind off
no,
the
No, but let's be serious here.
Okay.
We're talking about a solemn thing here.
I know. I'm sorry.
My dad's friend used to play a lot of jazz. Mm-hmm. And used to play you a lot. So I got to listen to you. And I think I got to love jazz through him.
Mm-hmm.
And I can list a number of beautiful songs from you.
Mm-hmm.
Tamati Soso is just, you know, one of those Mkewundini. And, you know, he's got nice nice songs, catchy beats.
Mm-hmm.
He's got those deep songs that make you think in a headache kind of manner, you know.
Yeah,
so, yeah, it was...
For me, I think the most outstanding thing is when I saw a headline saying that he said he would never sing with anybody who wears a weave. So he would refuse to sing with anyone who wears a weave. No offense with those that wear weaves. Continue wearing that hair, those grasses, whatever, horse hair, whatever you call it. But for me, I thought that was very...
I mean, he didn't only not sing, he didn't take pictures.
With weave people.
With people who've got... Women who've got weaves. I don't know.
Men are putting weaves on now.
Now. Yeah.
Now that is dead.
You know, yeah. To you went as far as to the extent of, you know, I stand by this. I will not shake somebody's hand when he could. If he couldn't help it, he would get to the point of refusing to take a picture with him.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think he had certain principles around him that he also stood by, and, you know, it's something that I'd respect.
Yeah, no, and I think it's just also trying to advocate for originality and one just being proud of who they are and where they come from. Especially in this day and age where everybody wants to have a weave and our young girls don't have anyone to look up to because they don't see themselves in most of these people on TV. They're wondering, is there something wrong with my hair? When because everyone is weeping it. I mean, they have hairlines that are starting from the middle of their heads. But anyway, may his soul rest in peace.
Where he is concerned, I will stay far away from the conversation. Very far.
Shut
very
up
far.
Your mouth. But, you know, I think prostate cancer is real, and gentlemen, we need to get ourselves checked. Let's get those balls touched and checked and make sure that we are aware of, you know, our health. We just need to create our... It's every day. We need to be checked. The same way people go for breast cancer is the same way we need to get our balls checked.
There's balls touching here. That's why it's super excited.
Yeah.
Who's excited? Torello. No, I'm not excited.
You're not excited. You're over excited.
I'm excited. You are over excited.
You're always excited about balls. We also lost another legend, Bra Ed. Most of you, if you watch TV Scandal, I mean, it plays also on the BCN, Zimbabwe Broadcasting Corporation.
Yes, quite is.
He just passed on at the age of 68, but he passed on from a natural death, and they don't know what it is yet. He has acted in on generations, Soul City, Okavango, Kululeka, Going Up, Yizo Yizo, and so many other TV shows. And I mean, since 2005, he's been on Scandal, and it's been a hit ever since. He's been a hit ever since he was there. May so rest in peace also.
Yeah.
It's sad. We keep losing all these people, and I don't know what's going on.
You know, I mean, it's the way of everybody.
Yeah.
We are all going the same way. Some people, the good thing about it is many of these people we've lost this week. There's a lot, there's even a lot more musicians.
Yeah, there's a lot more.
You know, and many of them live their life. I mean, to get as far as being a legend.
Yes.
Like Eddie, yeah. Like Brian, you know, you, I mean, you would have really lived your life to the fullest, I hope, and things like that. That's one thing that really matters. But otherwise, one day, we're going to be sitting here with Itai saying, Gilmore.
Good Lord. Itai. Have you lived life to your
fullest? I just hope no one calls me bra, because if you call bra something...
It's scary, right? Bra A to bra you.
Yeah, it's scary.
No, my, to all the bras that just passed on, may you rest in peace. May your souls rest in peace. And... we're keeping our prayers, the families and everybody else, because we have lost legends, so may their souls rest in peace.
It's really sad to think, you know, Brayu is gone and I'm, you know, left with someone like
Winkity.
Bra Winkity, Bra Chakra, Bra Asaf.
You know, like, come on, you know.
And so, remember the last time I was at your place with you? We're playing Brayu.
Yes, definitely. A few days before he passed away.
Shame.
We just got into the spirit of just, you know.
So you could sense it, you could feel it.
No, we didn't sense anything.
We enjoyed the music.
It's just always beautiful.
But listen, we'll still have Bra Winky D, Bra Ja Praiser, Bra SF, Bra Ten Diamond, Bra
Calvin,
all those. So, yay. We never know where we're going.
So now you're calling them bra so that they can follow the set example.
So we're going to look at the interview that the President Emmerson Dambuzo Mnangagwa had at the World Economic Forum in Davos. And that's actually his first international interview, right? I would like to believe. Has he had others before that was very much public like that?
As president?
As president.
No.
He has had one before. As president?
No, not that I know of, unless if he did.
Not of that scale.
Yeah, yes. And I mean, he touched on a lot of things, and I watched the interview. And
Twice.
But one of the things that stood out for me was his constant, when the interviewer, who we'll call my dear for now, because I seem not to know her name, but the president called her my dear.
You're conducting an interview, you're the host, and you don't say your name, just like, you know, doing this podcast, and you don't mention who you are.
Oh, by the way, my name is Gilmore.
Yes. See? And somebody who's listening to it for the first time knows your guest. Okay, your guest is Itai, knows, you know, your guest, but doesn't know who the hell you are.
So you guys are comparing yourselves to ED. Everyone knows ED.
Like, you know.
You are like the president now.
And you are like my dear. My dear.
But listen, let's touch on how she constantly was pressurizing him to say sorry, because she touched a lot about the Gukura Hundi, the genocide, and also just mentioned some numbers of 20,000 that she says it's according to the Catholic Commission for Justice and Peace, that it was estimated over 20,000 people passed on or died or were killed rather during the Gukura Hundi. And she constantly was pressurizing the president to just say sorry, or to acknowledge or something on that platform.
What I liked about the president is he spoke like a politician, and he spoke like somebody who studied law.
Yeah.
You know, it's like someone saying, I am neither accepting nor denying, but I will take full responsibility.
So he's not doing either. He's on the fence.
Yes. Yes. He says, I've got a commission set up to run. The commission will go to the people. If the people want me to answer charges, I will go. But remember, I was leading the commission.
Mm.
It's his vice president.
Mm-hmm. Which one in particular? That was my question.
Mohadi. He's the one who's been put in charge of that.
Okay. And is Mohadi from the Matabeleland region?
Yes, he's from Matabeleland. He's actually from Matabeleland South.
So he's supposed to soften the Ndebele people, the Matabeleland people rather, not the Ndebele people.
No, not necessarily soften them up, but... he's an acceptable face that we can come, we can understand the people, you know, like he's got connect with the people from the basic, from the culture, from the language and everything.
I know, because but, also the people of Matabeleland are very tough.
Yeah, I know, they're extremely tough. Look at yourselves.
When you stand in front of them and you start talking and they're like, who the hell are you? You know, but if it's somebody, yes, that they can be famous. And the who the hell are you question is also politically packed. It's also, you know, culturally packed. And so if it's somebody that, you know, resonates with them, comes from them,
it's one of them.
So it's sort of like more acceptable and they Mohadis can mediate. That's the strategy that Zanu
people I think that's what they're trying to use
since day one, since Nkomo, Msika, you know.
So did Nkomo and Msika fail to do what possibly Mohadi is able to do? We say that?
I think now it's changed circumstances. Before 14 November, people used to talk about ground but in harsh voices.
Yes.
After 15 November, we talk about it. There was even some talk at Rainbow the other time, and we spoke, and people spoke openly about ground. Before the new dispensation, new old dispensation.
New dog, old dog.
It was difficult to talk about these issues. So now we're hoping maybe. Now that there's an act even signed by the president to say, let's talk about healing and peace. So I'm sure we should be able to get somewhere.
But do you think that possibly him apologizing on that platform or acknowledging that was going to be a powerful act towards the national healing that we're seeking for as Zimbabweans?
Powerful but tricky. Because it would put him in a very tricky position. See, that's how the whole... Basically, this is basic, simple... law, we all understand.
Yeah.
You admit to a crime, you are now guilty of it.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
He was going to hang himself on a stake by saying sorry.
By saying so, he would have spent the next, few months to the election dodging and having to answer for a lot of things. I think he understood that. And then even if he does win the election, beyond that, you are guilty of a crime that you admitted to. You know, or if he loses... You know, whoever's there is forced to hunt him down, you know, and things like that. So politician-wise, lawyer-wise, I think he knew.
So he's very clever about it.
He's really being clever about it. Mugabe didn't want to talk about this.
No, he never wanted to. Years, yeah, he never wanted to.
You know, he didn't want to talk about it.
So so that's why he neither denied nor accepted. But he took full responsibility.
But also I like the fact that he was clever enough to say the government of today must apologize. He didn't say him, so he's putting himself in collection with everybody else that he works with. And he said that in the interview. The government of today must apologize, meaning it's something that they have spoken about, it's something that they highly like
maybe not really, you know, not again really. The politician and the lawyer playing who's guilty of Kukuraundi? It's ZANU PF.
Yes.
Who's the government? It's ZANU PF. You know, to appease you, who's putting him under pressure? My dear was putting him under pressure.
Whatever her name is. But she was incredible. She was amazing. She held it proper.
I'm surprised I didn't even know her, and yet she's so amazing. I thought I would have maybe known her from CNN interviews, or maybe I don't pay that much attention from BBC interviews or whatever. She was amazing. I think she that lady, that woman is an amazing interviewer.
So I think we need to give Gimo a homework. Give him that interview to watch every day for 3 times a day so that he can learn a thing or two.
Until
So much shade on our show. We'll never invite you again. We'll never give you coffee or water or anything. Okay.
It's a new dispensation.
You take
criticism.
And talk of criticism, you hear what he said? He says, don't give me a sleeping period. If I do something wrong, criticize me instantly.
That's incredible.
That's for a politician, that's like, wow.
Yeah, but I think there's this idea going around that all this that we see of ED and the current government is because we are going towards an election. So it's only beyond the election, if they do win, that people are saying we will see their true colors. But then again, I don't know.
But also, I also sort of have like the same mentality or belief that this is all like, he's saying things that people want to hear. I don't know, this is me. I feel like he's saying things that people want to hear, and they're doing things that people want to happen in Zimbabwe. And in that way, they are getting the confidence of Zimbabweans, and possibly Zimbabweans will vote them in. But then, I don't know how sincere this is.
No, but I think, but, back me up on this, if you will. How more sincere, even trading, how more sincere can it be than a president putting an act into place? This is law. Regardless of how sincere he is, mm-hmm. beyond the election, even if they win, this peace and healing commission is law.
Okay, okay.
It's cast in stone. In stone.
But the stone can be thrown away in pink Zimbabwe.
No, it can be thrown away. It's just
throw it down.
If Moses can do it, I mean,
you know,
if Moses can do it, you need order. But listen, but at the same time, you know, I think we've been in such an, I've said this before, in such an abusive relationship for a long time as Zimbabweans that we don't know what's sincere and what's not sincere. It's just, we're just like, ooh, I almost say something, but anyway, we still, we still are trying to get used to all this. All these happenings that are, you know, the things that are happening, the adjustments that are happening within our country. And it's hard for us to believe most of these things because we haven't experienced them for a very long time.
But I think yes, he might say the right things for to win elections, but then he said he should be held to account for the things he says. So there is that record that sometimes it's good to be positive. You cannot be negative all the times. Let's be positive. If he wins the next elections, if he wins, then we see how he delivers. If he loses, he said in the double sit-up that if he loses, we end over power. So
that is it.
Let's hope it happens that way.
That is it.
Yeah, I mean, also, as Zimbabweans, we are coming out of a very terrible and long and abusive relationship.
Exactly.
You know, so it's going to be very difficult for us to trust anyone, especially someone who was. We are now in a relationship with a person who was in the same clique with our previous lover who was abusing us.
They're
friends.
This person who was abusing us.
He helped the abuse.
So now how do we trust you?
So like, yes, so try and understand our trust levels.
Yeah.
Anything you say, regardless of how genuine you are, we are traumatized.
Very much traumatized.
We need to go to, you know, rehab for this. We need our trauma dealt with. And he's thrown a healing and peace commission. You know,
but they need to act on it now. You can just throw it there, but there is need for action to happen.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really interesting, really, when you look at it. But now, but then again, you cannot hold him to account for things he did when he was a junior. He was being sent, remember, he wasn't the one with the power, with the actual say. But look at how things have changed. You take off the guy and he comes in and suddenly he starts changing. He does like what, 180-10. Opening up Zimbabwe is open for business.
Yeah.
You know all those things. It's important that if some people can hear him and want to give him a chance, they should go ahead and give him a chance. If those that never liked ZANU-PF, like myself, will never give him a chance.
Wow, he never liked it, but yet you were sleeping with it. But anyway, we're going to take a short break, and then we'll come back and touch a little bit about Zimbabwe being open for the international world to come in and start operating. And also being business to us, right?
I thought you were going to say Zimbabwe being open for the international community to come in
Listen, like you said, we are traumatized as Zimbabweans, and for the president to hit our G-spot is gonna take so much. Okay, so much. Welcome back. We're still talking about the interview of President Emmerson Dambudzo Mnangagwa at the World Economic Forum in Davos. I was actually very much away from my mic, so now I'm closer to it. You know, in the interview he said that Zimbabwe has been isolated because of history, and he's just hoping that from today onwards, from whenever he went into power going onwards, we're able to attract a lot of people coming in. Let's talk about the 51%, 49% indigenization scheme that was put in before. They said they removed that, but they've only kept it on two minerals, which is which ones?
Diamond and platinum.
So do you think this is going to attract a lot of people to come into Zimbabwe and want to actually invest for us to move forward?
Yeah, I mean, the president said it himself. Initially, what we understood of this was, okay, right now I can negotiate mm-hmm. with whatever international partner.
Mm-hmm.
But then he specified the choices also on the international someone coming in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If they want a local partner, they'll find a local partner.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't want a local partner, they are not forced to.
So they can actually just operate 100% without a local partner?
Without a local partner, they need to make the applications set up right according to the bylaws and all that kind of stuff.
But then what happens to the profits made? Are they sent back or there's a certain amount that remains in the country? Because we might run the risk of having multinational companies coming in, looting money and sending it back to their countries.
Well,
and
but
we've suffered from that before.
They are here to make profit. I suppose maybe there's going to be laws for that.
Okay.
Like also one of the important things would be maybe to employ local
mm-hmm.
instead of bringing in a Chinese company and all the Chinese in China to come in here,
mm-hmm.
you know, and start looting, you know, go back.
But don't you think this should... But don't you think this should start with us? Because we, in Zimbabwe, already have issues of ourselves. You find that a company opens, a corporate opens in Harare, and then maybe its headquarters is in Bulawayo, and then they bring everybody from Bulawayo and they take them to Harare. So we already have...
You have to say that the way it is.
That everything comes from
Harare.
And Swat Banks opens a branch in Bulawayo.
In Bulawayo, there's no place called Bulawayo.
It opens a branch in Bulawayo and stuff with everyone from Harare.
Mm-hmm.
And the OK is also doing the same thing.
Yeah.
No, which other place that I went to?
There's a place I went to, and when I was talking to them, they did not understand a single thing that I said. I literally said Nyagomocha, which means basically helping you, your compliments, and they didn't understand a single thing. And I'm asking myself, how then do you relate to the locals? How then do you even get clients?
How do you do business?
Coming to business is about opening up and all the jazz. Let's start with the basics.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
How long does it take to open a business in Zimbabwe? Registering a business from scratch.
It's been made easy now.
Yeah,
you do that 24 hours.
I actually went to the office mm-hmm. yesterday. I was actually supposed to go and collect my name today, the name search.
Mm-hmm.
Initially, I was supposed to collect it after lunch.
Yeah.
But I went there well close to lunch. So if I'd been there early, around 9, they would have told me, come back and collect your name mm-hmm. after lunch. Yes, the other process of now registering that name
mm-hmm.
takes a couple of days. But what they're trying to do, which is better than
because
the 3 weeks.
Because it was 3 weeks to a month for you to just get your registration
so
in that form.
What the guy told me is now they are also trying to put everything onto the internet. So you no longer have to go to the deeds office to register a company.
Mm-hmm.
You just do everything on your own. Because the payment, we actually did the payment online through EcoCash, they've got Visa cards or Zim Switch.
But Visa cards don't work in Zimbabwe, though.
Well,
at the moment.
I suppose they do if you put US dollars in them.
Yeah, but.
And where do I get US dollars? Oh, sorry, that's another issue.
That's you, in theory, supposedly, you apply for them at your bank.
And then you get it from the bank.
And then the bank supposedly.
Because I'm having issues with Barclays Bank right now.
Uh-huh.
There's a transfer that came in from outside, and then I'm asking them if they can activate my card so I can use it when I go anywhere else, like Botswana or South Africa or Mozambique, wherever I go. But then they say to me, no, you need to deposit money. But prior to that, when I spoke to one of the person, they said to me, if you have a transfer that has come in from outside, which was US dollars, we're able to activate your card. But now I'm being told they can't activate. I need to find the dollars and deposit. But there's US dollars that came from freaking United States of America.
That you need to talk to them. And usually when I talk to bank people, this is my theory. When I talk to these guys, I ask for their names.
Mm.
So that tomorrow when I come back, I spoke to Gilmore yesterday. May I please speak to Gilmore?
Mm.
Well, how far are we with this issue?
Yeah.
And if you can give me a satisfactory answer, I'll look for someone who's your superior.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and I get his name as well. That way, you keep everyone in check.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. let's go back to our discussion, because we're going to go and start talking about banks, which is another frustrating thing in Zimbabwe right now.
Yeah, no, but now I think why it's important, why this talk of banks is important, is also I think the president should be aware that our major interest for Zimbabwe to set up properly.
Assuming he's listening to our show, and yes, he's going to hashtag us on.
I'm going to we should tag him online.
We should tag him online. Yeah, exactly. Him online. Yes. Exactly.
So the idea is, if you want to make Zimbabwe conducive for business, let's also work on the local structures, the platform locally, the landscape locally. You know, we are also trying to open business. We're not internationals. We're not white farmers getting our white farms back. We are locals who've been in Zimbabwe all along, trying to survive, trying to make something of ourselves. We didn't go overseas. We stayed in Zimbabwe and tried to make Zimbabwe work when it couldn't work. Now we have a president who says, let's make Zimbabwe work.
Yeah.
You know, and we're saying we are with you, but can we make sure that the local environment, platform, everything, the landscape is conducive? Yeah, I shouldn't go into a bank. Right now, I can't, my website. I made a website online. I used to pay for it because I had a Visa card, I had US dollars in
there. But now you can't pay for
it. But yeah, website's been down for months because they're telling me come and deposit US dollars.
For you to pay for your website?
For me to pay. But like you're saying, the money that was in my account when they decided my money is no longer US dollars, was US dollars.
Because it came from
US dollars. And then suddenly it's not US dollars. You know, those sort of things. So, Mr. President, we really need to also fix the local. So when the internationals who are trying to embrace and want them to embrace us come in, they don't spend hours at a bank queuing. Because I'm not going to let them go to the front. I've been queuing there for days.
Yeah, no, they will have to.
In a bank queue.
They will have to wait also and just do the same.
And so business is not smoothly oiled that way.
So we need to work on it big
time. We really need to work on the local platforms.
Interesting. You want to say something? Your mouth is open. You're like a goldfish, the ones that I have at home.
You've got a goldfish.
I have goldfish. Lots of them.
The house jewel.
The fish, the gold.
Wow.
In water? In
you're really elite.
Like is, that, some elite. Is this why you killed that cat?
Excuse me. Let's move right ahead. Listen, so he says there's something else that the president mentioned in his interview. He says the land reform is one thing that isolated us from the international community in Zimbabwe. And he's talking about, and the lady touched on if the white farmers specifically are going to get back their land. And he says that we do not want to think of racial lines when it comes to the farmers. Whoever is good and can be productive will give them the land for them to be productive.
There's plenty of land in Zimbabwe. We can afford to give everyone a piece of land.
And watch us not being productive and still the productive ones grow the economy.
Because it's we need to work on that as a country. We shouldn't just give someone because they're black or they're Indian or they're mixed race or they're white. But I think it's also about looking at the capacity that they have and also training them and making sure that they're able to produce from that land, not for their families, but commercially producing.
We need to start by targeting multiple farm owners. There are guys with once productive farms which have come which have become grasslands now. Nothing grows.
There's just animals going to graze, possibly. Maybe they are growing the grass for the animals.
And people are going to take it down in the grass.
But that's manure, though.
What do you mean animals? When you chase a farmer with a herd of 1,000 cattle and you bring someone 5 cattle. I mean, like, seriously, you could say
a tractor that they got corruptly.
But everything, he's trying to eradicate corruption in Zimbabwe.
Yes.
He's trying to eradicate.
Which is another thing that
corruption.
I agree with.
Yeah.
With ED about, you know, really targeting corruption on that level. You know, he started where corruption was like the most, the police service.
Yeah. Ooh. Oh, I saw them on the road. They're back on the road now.
No, they're back on the highways, but really, they just have drums and stuff.
And they're getting hit by the heat.
Yeah, just wave at you. Yeah, just to make sure, because you get a lot of, also when you remove the police from society, you get a lot of unscrupulous characters doing unscrupulous things and being irresponsible because they know they're no police. The sighting and seeing of police sort of like helps people keep themselves in check, you know, try and think of, you know, I don't want to be on the wrong side, I don't want to be, you know, that kind of thing. But I mean, the level to which it had gone was was totally out of hand.
Yeah,
and but my challenge with this fight for corruption is a lot of guys have been arrested.
Yes,
and appeared in court. And appeared in court, but no one has been sentenced. You know, what happened to
Chombo?
It's like a small screen. You go to court, you're released, it's done.
Bail. Was Chombo released though?
He's out.
Oh, he's out?
Yes.
I mean, with $10 million dollars.
On bail.
No, the $10 million is what evidence we have physically that we all got to know about. We don't know about every other thing that they found everywhere else.
Is he not the stepfather to Pogelo Nare, the girl who was on Big Brother Africa?
Which is what I don't get. How did Stana get up in there and not walk away with at least $1 million?
He was up in it.
Stana did that and finished with Dala and moved on to Olinda. Thank you. Let's move on to...
But there were millions. There were millions.
There were millions.
Chombo, but the millions were in Zimbabwe. And Olinda is thousands in the UK. You know, it's kind of cooler and colder in there.
It's just interesting how all this thing is coming in when we're talking about the president's interview at the World Economic Forum.
Yes, the World Economic Forum.
We're talking about economics
and the economics of making money.
You know, he touched a lot on the elections, the upcoming elections, but we're just going to dash into it soon after this. So talking about elections, the president says that the 5-year term ends in July or something like that. But then it's after February, he can then proclaim when the elections are happening, because this young lady, my dear, kept asking when the elections are actually happening. So up to now, as Zimbabweans, do we know? So it means we don't know what's happening in terms of election dates?
The dates we don't know. But what we know is we're having elections.
We're having elections. But then if we don't know the dates, what happens then to the opposition parties? How then do they properly plan and campaign?
They never plan. Why should we worry about them? Last election, they didn't campaign at all.
We told them
the dates, and they were like, fuck you guys. Uh-huh. And then they went and chilled at home. Uh-huh. And then they expected magic to happen.
So that's the thing. How do we even vote for them? Because now, as much as we want to have free and fair elections, yes, we might have that, but then with who exactly?
Gilmore?
Yeah.
A question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you set a wedding day first before you propose, or you propose and set a wedding day later?
You propose and set the wedding later.
The opposite is supposed to campaign now. When the date comes out, they'll be like, you know?
That's it. They're supposed to be campaigning for the past 5 years.
Okay, you know, but they haven't been doing that.
That's the thing, and this is what I'm afraid of now with Zim.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not usually afraid, but this time I'm afraid. You have a lot of young people.
Mm-hmm.
Who want to vote for the opposition for the sake of voting for an opposition. Yeah. They don't know who the opposition are.
Mm.
They don't know what they are on about, what they are going to do.
Why do you sound low today?
They've never voted
before in
their lives.
Uh-huh.
And basically what they know is, I finished Form 4 3 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and I've suffered in this ZANU-PF Mugabe thingy, and I want to vote for the opposition.
Yeah, but then the opposition is not there.
The opposition is non-existent.
This is sad.
If I belong to the opposition and I wanted to create chaos, I'll just go deep in the right areas and start campaigning, saying vote Mugabe.
Mm-hmm.
Done.
Vote Mugabe, but then when they... Yes!
He's not there, so they don't vote. They spoil votes. I'm creating chaos.
Okay, talking about that voting, the transparency, because he says that for now, I think maybe this is the first time ever since independence that we're open for the EU to come in and possibly monitor our elections. But this is the most interesting one. He said EU is welcome, but anyone else outside EU, meaning the USA, they need to apply.
EU is welcome. Commonwealth is welcome.
Uh-huh.
SADC, AU. They have an agreement already as African, Southern African states.
Yeah.
AU, there's an agreement
as
the Africa governing body or whatever the AU does, which I suppose think is useless. Does. But with the EU, I think it's a recent agreement.
All right.
EU countries and EU.
But then what does it mean, like anyone else outside
of the EU?
Of the EU.
Those are bigger bodies. So it's now look at the smaller nations now that want to come in. And
yeah, like the US wanting to come, if Brazil wants to come through and observe, they just need to apply. It doesn't necessarily mean they will be denied or they're going to be scrutinized.
Mm-hmm.
It's just we don't have an agreement with them as yet.
Okay, okay.
So they need to put in the application. Probably the EU has put in applications already.
And then it's already been approved it's and they're able to come through and...
Yes, and observe.
And monitor and do all those things. Monitor
and be transparent.
And hopefully we'll be very transparent. And it says to the young lady... I don't know which word you don't understand when I say transparent because this is like, English.
I'm not an English expert.
But I've said transparent. But then this whole Commonwealth thing, what are the benefits if Zimbabwe actually has to get back into the Commonwealth? Are there any benefits for us? Or is it what would it do for us if we go back into this Commonwealth?
I'm not too sure or well-versed into the broader national... benefits, but this could be very good for people who have knowledge on this to engage on social media, fill us in on, you know, what benefits it could be. But it seems to be a big deal. Why would Mugabe then boast and drop the mic and leave the Commonwealth if it wasn't that big a deal?
Maybe he was just dropping the mic because he liked the sound of the mic dropping.
Well, yeah, maybe. But yes. Why would ED then pick up the mic? And say, you know.
Because he wants to test the mic.
He's doing a 180. He has to change things around. Yeah. And so far, I think it doesn't make any sense for me to pull out of regional bloc for whatever reason is. Because if there's a disagreement, let's talk about it. Let's come to an agreement. But dropping the mic now.
You drop the mic.
Sports.
You decide on your own and... You know, you decide for everybody else.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so the problem that we've suffered from was that Zimbabwe was put as... I think people were looking at Zimbabwe at a face. I think there was one face that constantly presented Zimbabwe. Yes. And
the
everybody
was
suffered.
Sleeping at the conferences.
Oh, yeah. And he didn't have to do much at the conference in Davos. Eh? He just had to keep awake.
He didn't have to...
Let me not fall asleep.
Wow.
Shouldn't fall asleep, right?
But you are ridiculous. Briefly, Grace Mugabe, he says that Grace Mugabe didn't get immunity, but then there are benefits that were given to the former first family, the President Robert Mugabe, former president of Zimbabwe, him getting medication in Singapore and getting some package because he refused the 10 million. He says, no, I don't know about the 10 million. That's just figures that are circulating. Now, there's this whole medication of Singapore. Don't you think it was better for... why is it not going to Mpilo? Why is it not going to Parinyato? Someone asked that question on social media.
Because he oversaw the running down of those institutions.
Yes.
He cannot trust them because he knows what he did to them.
So that's why he won't be able to... That's why they're sending him to Singapore to take care of his education. I was going to say education.
He's too old today.
And the flag thing. You know, we used to be arrested if you're seen putting on the Zimbabwean flag, but then ED had a scarf.
Who made those scarves? Like, there's a picture that I saw of them sitting in line and all of them had these scarves at a table across some... I don't know.
I saw a tweet. Someone was saying, written the name of the person who made the scarves. It was.
I saw Celia something today.
Yes.
Who came up with the idea of the scarves? Come on.
I don't know. Maybe they realized it's very cold in Davos.
I did four of these.
I mean, people are going to want them because. You know, it's fashionable, but I don't think it's a fashionable. I hope it doesn't go to national dress type.
It might actually go. You see, there are so many colors of on that scarf, bro.
It's not a lot of colors. It's just a couple of, like, five colors.
It's the same colors so being repeated over and over again.
They look horrible. Maybe they could have put them more vertical instead of
horizontal. That would have looked like the South African one.
No, the Zanubia flag. That would have been the Zanubia flag. They were straight along the scarf. You know, I mean, I don't know. I mean, couldn't we...
But those colors are the same with ones that Rastafari like to use, isn't it?
But those are our colors. That's our national.
So I can always cut off the part that is the Zimbabwe beard and stuff.
And then suddenly,
I'm a Rastafari. That's why I love this.
I don't know. But yeah, I mean, they were looking cool. Like, you know, anything, regardless of how bad it is, if you rock it, and it's as many of you, it starts to look cool. It's just like a dance when you're dancing on your own. It's okay. But once 4 or 5 people start doing the same dance, it begins to look cool.
So are you going to buy the scarf?
Please stop giving Gilmore ideas about dancing. He can't dance. He has to save his own life. Okay.
No, I'm definitely not going to buy the scarf.
You're not going to buy it?
No. I'm not.
You're not going to get it. But Itai, are you going to get one?
Yes, I'm going to get four. In case you steal one from me.
Ridiculous. Are you going to get the scarf? You're listening at home. Let us know if you're going to get the scarf. And what you thought about the interview of President of Zimbabwe, Emmerson Dambudzo Mnangagwa. The hashtag is GTWE5. And our Twitter handles are at GilmoreTWE and at CliffCentral.com. We would love to hear from you. So let's talk Zim. MTV Sugar Down South follows the lives of young people and tells their stories as they happen. Meet pretty feisty 15-year-old Solo. She lives with her loving father Robert and spends most of her time with her best friend Kensani. Then she meets Saul. Solo discovers that all that glitters is not gold in episode 8. How will it all play out? Next up is Solo's story in 5 minutes with Sugar.
My dad is amazing. My mom left us when I was 3, and since then it's just been the two of us. He works really hard to give us a good life. Lately, I seem to need more than he can give. The truth will kill him, so I pretend everything's okay. Thank you. Wow, it's beautiful.
You want to register in the beginning? This dress is for my daughter.
Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, what a girl.
This dress is actually doing the most. Wish of honesty. But deep down, I know this moment is a complete lie. Not because it's fake, no. But because I'm showing Papa only one side of me. The side he believes to be true and innocent. But the truth is much darker.
Hey, Wallafu, you're right.
It's probably just Kensani. You know how Kensani gets sometimes. Oh, here, ne? Okay.
Let me get the pin.
Okay.
Hey! Mama, sadin yan.
But it wasn't Kensani. It was Saul. Again. I ignored his calls. Around town, Saul is known as the cheese boy player. Nobody takes him seriously. And when we got together, I thought I could keep it casual. That way nobody gets hurt. Right? Thanks for the lift, mister.
Ah, mister. You can call me Saul.
Okay, bye, Saul.
Wait. When do I see you again?
There's a line.
How long is this line?
It's long, very long. But for you, I might put you in 3rd, 5th place.
Ah, 5th.
Maybe. Why? What can you do for me?
Give me your number. We chat live and discuss it properly.
Chat live? Really? Chat live? When my Tamagotchi only makes SMSs and takes phone calls.
Ah, in this day and age.
Yes. In this day and age. Look, thanks for the food, man. Seemed to work in the beginning. I like the stuff Saul bought me. I can't lie. Made life a little sweeter. Is that really wrong to want nice things? I don't think so. My best friend Kenzie didn't really approve.
And he just, like, gave you all this stuff.
It's got good taste,
man. We need to watch out, eh? You know how Saul likes to change his wallpaper, girl.
Look, I know these things don't last forever, but he's getting what he wants. I'm getting what I want.
You say that now.
And now Saul is getting all clingy. The
so they say that love changes everything.
There goes my cheese boy calling again. You know he's becoming like Chappies now.
Isn't he working? Like, why is he calling so much?
Why would he need to work? You know he's a daddy can I have most. Other day you should have seen him answering the phone looking all June, July. And then I heard in the background somebody calling him. I think it was his father.
Oh, shame. Like at his age.
Please, at least he knows how to wear a helmet. Unlike somebody I know.
Wow.
I feel like I'm living a twisted double life. This was supposed to be fun. Can't we go back to when I really was Daddy's little angel? When that was truly enough.
So long,
Papa?
o itse gana tsole o tsole mosadinyana yana and I just wish my home got really quiet so that you guys can have a chat. Yeah, sadly, wait.
Papa, I'm fine. Do you remember she left us? We don't need her.
I know, but I worry about you, Nana.
Papa, I know boys are trouble. You don't have to worry.
I don't want to worry.
Eat your food.
Then things with Saul got really creepy, and I felt like I couldn't breathe.
Hello?
Tenuzo Nenza's band last time, son. I've been calling and calling and you're not answering.
Sorry, wrong number.
But I never thought it would go where it did.
So you're hurting me!
Oh. Answer when I call.
Phil is like a stranger right now. I can't believe this is happening to me. Help. Someone, please. Help me.
That moment arrives. You need help from the very person you've been hiding from. Will you speak your whole truth? Or will you continue to hide? Papa?
It's the middle of the night and I'm still awake.
All right, that was MTV Sugar Down South and Solo Story. If you're a young person, it's very important for you to take note of these things that are being raised. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining me in studio today. I mean, sorry, Louis, don't have to thank you. Itai, what was your favorite quote from the ED interview?
Zimbabwe is open for business.
Zimbabwe is open for business. It's wide open. Its legs are open. And Torelo.
Legs. Seriously?
Torelo.
All right. I have two in particular. Uh-huh. The first one, more subtle, and many more other positions.
Many more other positions. My favorite was my dear.
And then I have one that where he says, I must say, whenever Britain has a lady prime minister, Zimbabwe enjoys the relationship.
Of course, yeah, we love them like that. But thank you so much for joining. If I have to get a hold of you on social media platforms, where can I get a hold of you? Italy?
Twitter, mm-hmm. at Muroi. Mm-hmm. Instagram, at Muroi.
Mm-hmm. At Muroi.
And Facebook, Itai Muroi.
All right, so Muroi.
So how do you like fare with all these headlines of witch hunting for the ice cream?
Because
your
Muroi
name already says...
You're a witch. Wizard.
I look aside because I know I'm untouchable.
Wow, untouchable. We'll get in touch with you on social media platforms. And Swarelo is at Umelaphi, right?
Yes,
that's
definitely.
U-M-E-L-A-P-H-I. Right, I got it.
I think you got it right.
Perfect. Finally, at least I have my English sorted. And my name is Gilmore T, the Global Citizen. Thank you very much for joining us here on the Gilmore T Vibe. Until next week, please tune in and make sure you tell all your friends that 1 p.m. every Friday, we are live on Cliff Central. Right, cheers. We're going to find more ice cream and more witches. And we'll see you next week.
Cheers.
Cheers.
This is CliffCentral.com.